This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and die not, except in a state of surrender and submission to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him He created his wife, and from them both He created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear Him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of Allah the Almighty. And the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are considered to be heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. The great tabi'i Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, visits Mecca. He says, أتيت مكة فاستقبلني عطاء بن أبي رباح وسلم علي ثم التفت إلى الناس فقال تسألونني عن العلم وعندكم يحيى بن أبي كثير. This great tabi'i, who was among the youngest of the tabi'in, visits Mecca. And the faqih of Mecca, the student of the companions رضي الله عنهم, who used to give fatwa in Mecca even when the companions were alive, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, the great faqih and muhaddith, the faqih of Mecca, the scholar of Mecca. He says, Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, he says, Ata ibn Abi Rabah receives me, greets me. When I arrive in Mecca, then he turns to the people and he says, you're asking me about knowledge? When you have among you now Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. Ask him. That's the meaning. So Yahya ibn Abi Kathir says, فَتَضَرَّعْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا أَنْ يُخْرِجَ حَلَاوَةَ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ قَلْبِي. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir says, I prayed to Allah 40 days to remove the sweetness of this word from my heart. What is the lesson? He was concerned about his sincerity. Because the conversation was about what? Knowledge. It was about education. It's about teaching people the religion of Allah, the deen of Allah, how to worship Allah. And the great privilege that is given to him by the great scholar of Mecca, Ata ibn Abi Rabah. The fact that he recommends him, that he introduces him to the people and he says, you don't ask me, ask him. Because he's the one to be asked when he is present. Any one of us would find the sweetness of this. Why? Because of this recommendation. Why? Because of this praise in front of people. But the people of knowledge, the people who true their own worth, the people who sought the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they knew that this is something they didn't want. They knew that they didn't want to trade the love of Allah and the acceptance of Allah for the acceptance of the people. They were concerned for their sincerity. They sought Allah alone, and they know their human nature sometimes goes for such thing, craves after recognition and after the attention of people. Yet, Yahya ibn Abi Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he was so concerned that he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 40 days to remove the sweetness that he found in his heart because of that situation and because of that recommendation. The reason I'm starting with this is just a reminder for myself and for everyone among us that what really reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what counts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our sincere deeds, our sincere actions, when you do them for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, la ajra li man la hisbata lahu, the one who does not do things for the sake of Allah, seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no reward for him or her. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith regarding Ramadan, man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. He who fasts, or she who fasts, again, the month of Ramadan, out of faith in Allah, belief in Allah, iman, and hoping in Allah's reward, seeking Allah's reward, then their past sins would be forgiven. من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. He who stands up in prayer and in worship during the nights of Ramadan, out of faith, out of iman in Allah, seeking Allah's reward, hoping for Allah's reward, accepting nothing but Allah's reward, then their past sins will be forgiven. This is the spirit in which we should approach Ramadan. We're fasting, alhamdulillah. We are standing in prayer. We are reading Quran. We're making dua. And we are making dhikr. Make sure that none of this effort goes to waste. Don't seek anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't fall into this out of habit. This is an opportunity. And it comes once a year. And there is no guarantee that any of us would live to witness another opportunity like this when we are in better conditions or situations. So this could be the last gift that is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure you never let go of it. Don't let it go to waste. Don't waste this opportunity. You know, we have people from our congregation who in the past couple of months passed away. We prayed janazah on them. They're no longer among us. And I assume they were looking forward to this Ramadan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them to leave this world, to make it to the next world before Ramadan arrives. There is a hadith, but it's a weak hadith, yet the meaning the scholars say is authentic, that says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٍ فَتَعَرَّضُوا لِنَفَحَاتِهِ. There are special seasons and times that Allah has in the time that He gave us. So expose yourself to those beautiful times. This is a high season for good deeds. You know, the return on investment is huge and is multiplied. And if you are someone who seeks reward, someone who seeks good business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the time you can't waste. It is Ramadan. It is Ramadan when the devils are chained. The most mischievous among the shayateen are chained. Allah chains them to allow us more space, more freedom, to lessen the pressure on our shoulders and the pushback from the shayateen. So we get a better opportunity and better time. We're in a better position to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with less resistance. The gates of Jannah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are opened. None of them is closed. The gates of the hellfire are closed and none of them is opened in the month of Ramadan. And every night Allah frees people from the hellfire. Why? Because of their sincerity in their fast, their sincerity in their prayer, their sincerity in reading the Quran, their sincerity in making dua, their sincerity in seeking Allah's face by calling upon Him, remembering Him, worshipping Him, doing the things that He is pleased with. Sacrificing from their time, sacrificing from their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's the test of this life. Do you put Allah first? Do you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the things you love and the things you cherish? Your wealth, even your family, when it's a responsibility upon you to take care of them, do you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before them, or do you allow them to become a source of distraction? Even your work, even if it's good, even if you consider it to be an act of worship, do you put it before Allah or does Allah come first? These are the questions. This is the real test. It's not the claim that we believe in Allah. It's not the claim that we love Allah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, as Allah says. Allah commands the Prophet ﷺ to command the people, to say to the people, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of the Prophet ﷺ. What's the way of the Prophet ﷺ? Sincerity, al-ikhlas, doing things for the sake of Allah. And following the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ in the acts of worship, that's the time for it. And Allah has lowered the bar. He made it accessible for everyone. It's easy in this month to get your sins forgiven. Who among us doesn't have sins? Who among us doesn't fall through in the year in despicable things that Allah dislikes, things that disgrace us and contaminate our hearts and violate our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who doesn't fall into sins? Who doesn't slip? But Allah gives us this opportunity in Ramadan that you can get your records wiped out, the sins wiped out from your records with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can have a fresh start after Ramadan. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, one day in the famous hadith that all of us know, and every year we repeat it, every Ramadan, that the Prophet ﷺ was climbing the minbar to give the khutbah. And he did something unique because he didn't do that before. The companions never seen him doing this before this time. The Prophet ﷺ says three times, Ameen. So afterwards, the companions want to learn from the Prophet ﷺ. And they said, we saw that you have done something you've never done before. So what about this? And it was the three Ameens. So he said, إِنَّ جِبْرِيلَ قَدْ أَتَانِي آنِ فَأَذَا جِبْرِيلَ came to me and he made three dua, three supplications. And I said, Ameen, to each one of them. And one of them was, مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ وَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فَبُعْدًا لَهُ. A person who lives, who witnesses the month of Ramadan, who lives through the month of Ramadan and doesn't get his or her sins forgiven, may they be distanced from Allah's mercy. How poor they are. What a loser they are. That's what it means. What a loser they are. It's so easy. You just stretch your hand and grab it. This is how easy it is. And that's a dua made by Jibreel. And it is confirmed by the Prophet ﷺ, who said Ameen. So don't let this month go to waste. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. 5 days already passed. This is the fifth day. What, 25, 24 days left? Can't you just put your foot down and really give your best in this month?
You are attached to some sins. Can't you just give them up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can't we have some self-control? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in His beautiful words in Surah Al-Baqarah, as He describes the fasting, the act of fasting, this beautiful act of worship. And what is the reason? What is the purpose behind it? Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, just as it was prescribed upon those who were before you, those who came before you, so that you may attain taqwa. And what is taqwa? What is the reality of taqwa? The reality of taqwa is that you are mindful of Allah. That your heart is aware of Allah and connected to Allah at a personal level. That you are conscious of Allah's punishment. That you are so careful not to violate the limits of Allah and incur His wrath and anger. You want to be safe from that. And you want to attain Allah's reward and Allah's pleasure. That's what fasting is for. So what's the connection? What's the connection? By abstaining from food and drink and intimate relationships, how does this bring us to taqwa? First thing is al-imtithal, obedience and compliance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to Allah. Oh Allah, you say and we obey. You command and we fulfill what you command. That kind of willingness to be ready to fulfill the command of Allah, when you have within you desires pushing against this, that's the challenge. That's the challenge, and that's what grows your iman so you have more taqwa. This is how iman is grown. People sometimes complain about the hardships and about the struggles that they have in their life and that we have in our worship. And we think that's a detriment. We think that's difficult. These are the challenges that take you to paradise if you handle them well. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are stepping stones that lead you to Jannah. So don't complain about them. The difficulty, the hardship, the inconvenience, the discomfort that comes with practicing your religion, that comes with fasting, that comes with abstaining from your desires, and comes from abstaining from as well avenging yourself, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, as part of this hadith, إذا كان يوم صوم أحدكم فلا يرفث فلا يرفث فإن سابه أحد أو شاتمه فليقل إني صائم. When it's the day one of you is fasting, do not indulge in foul language. And if someone were to argue with you or someone were to swear at you, say to them, I am fasting. I am fasting. I am functioning at a level of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have to maintain that level. I have to maintain that purity, that elevated level of iman and goodness. I'm not going to go down there. I'm not going to go down. I'm not even going to avenge myself, which is a reflex among us humans. We want to defend ourselves. We want to prove ourselves. We want to assert ourselves in such challenging social circumstances. But for the sake of Allah, we put Allah first. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Then in the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ And so that you glorify Allah because of the guidance, due to the guidance that He brought to you and that He brought you to as well. He gave you the tawfiq to follow. We glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why you can't go through Ramadan on autopilot. You shouldn't do this. Ramadan should be a wake-up call. You should engage in the act of fasting thoughtfully. So you have yaqadha. You have a state of wakefulness. You awaken yourself. You don't do things out of habit. You don't just go through the motions. No, because the lion's share of your reward comes from your heart, from the engagement of your heart. Yes, you are abstaining from food and drink and intimacy and evil speech. Yet, the lion's share of your reward, of your engagement with fasting is in the heart. And this is where taqwa is born. This is where taqwa is grown. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهِ Fasting leads you to recognize the glory of Allah, the greatness of Allah. You recognize it. It grows in your heart. Allah's glory is self-evident. His greatness and His might are self-evident. But it's just about you, whether you acknowledge this truth and you recognize it, you wrap your heart around it or not. And fasting helps you do this. The guidance of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the wisdom of Allah in prescribing fasting, and in allowing you to fast, and in guiding you to fast, and in accepting your fast, and the miracles that we see everyone in our own life, the purification of the heart, as you abstain from the things that you are most attracted to, the things that you are most comfortable with, your food and your drink, and your habitual ways of behaving, you leave that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it breaks your pattern, it wakes you up. It makes you reflect. It makes you reflect on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to live on His provision, and how He made it abundant among us today. And alhamdulillah, most of us are not starving. Where we have, you know, places in the world where people can't have food, they can't feed their children. People are dying out of starvation in many parts of the world. And we are all aware of what's happening in Gaza and the crimes that are happening against the Muslims because of their faith. So all of this should remind us and connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. The third purpose here is for you to be thankful, to be grateful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, for guiding you to Islam, for making you a Muslim who obeys Allah, who knows Allah, who lives for Allah, who has this purpose in their life, who doesn't live blindly and aimlessly and lost of every meaning and every purpose, and they don't know what to do. So they either worship money, or they worship business, or they worship other human beings, or they worship power, or they worship sports, or they worship anything else. But you worship Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. People are killing themselves out of misery and out of void because they have nothing to live for. The life is empty. They are deprived of the knowledge of Allah. They are deprived of the love of Allah. They are deprived of the worship of Allah. We are fortunate to know Allah and to be allowed to worship Him and seek Him. It's a blessing. It's the greatest blessing that we were ever given. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And if my servants ask you about me, I am near. Allah is close to you. Allah is close to you. Allah is closer to you than the person who is sitting next to you. He's closer to you in His knowledge, closer to you in His mercy, closer to you in His blessings and in His generosity, closer to you in the care that He provides to you. That's Allah, our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of us are living a life that is distant from Allah. Then we ask, where is Allah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the closest to us. And His closeness is evident in everywhere, in everything around us. But we are not paying attention. We are in a state of ghafla. We want to awaken these hearts. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. Allah responds to us. And Allah responds in according to His wisdom. We shouldn't mistake Allah's blessings when He doesn't give us what we ask for, because Allah knows what to give us and what to withhold from us. Allah takes care of us more than we take care of ourselves. This is how we should treat Allah. It should never be a matter of question whether Allah cares for us or not. Allah's mercy is always showering us. But the thing is, are we blocking it through our sins, through our distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through our priorities, messed up priorities? That's the question. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Finally, so that you might find rushd and guidance to live a healthy lifestyle and a guided lifestyle. You know what life is about, and you know what you're doing in this life, and you're always choosing what is moral and what is right. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. One of the blessings that we take for granted as Muslims living in the West, and it seems sometimes we get in this habituated way of thinking that we don't appreciate some of those blessings and we don't appreciate the work that goes into these blessings, is to have masajid, to have a place where we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, where we can pray together, where we can listen to the Quran together, where we can open our fast together, where we can learn the Quran together, where our children can learn the Quran and develop their Muslim identity. We don't realize what this is. You know, Muslims who live in places where there are no masajid, their children are lost for the most part. And they are struggling. Many of them, some of them have lost their religion. And they have abandoned and left Islam. We take it for granted. And by the way, in the world, there is no effort that is perfect. But this is a blessing from Allah to be able, for us to be able to come here together and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify Him and establish the acts of worship and the rituals and the great signposts of Islam like as-salah and fasting and teaching the Quran and having our families being able to get together and to connect and to strengthen one another. Huge amounts of work and effort and finances go into this. So we should see this as a blessing. Because we would only realize how valuable it is when we lose it, and we can't afford to lose it. It's one of the greatest investments for all of us in terms of our effort and in terms of our finances. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان أجود الناس. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of all people. Because he knew Allah pays back abundantly. Allah rewards in multifold. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ The Prophet ﷺ was the most generous in his life during the month of Ramadan. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards abundantly for it. And this blessing that we have, having the masajid, the education for our kids and for the adults and for our families and for our daughters, and having the Muslims coming together, uniting together, learning their religion, getting to know one another, getting to network among themselves, strengthening the bond of brotherhood. Many times we don't realize how important this is in preserving our faith. It's just because we take it for granted. A lot of effort and finances go into this, way beyond our imagination. And there are people who put their time, there are people who volunteer, but there is a lot of expenses. So one of the things that we want to do, inshallah, in this Ramadan, and we expect this from this generous community, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Consider this to be business you do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all love money. Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ Man is extreme in loving wealth. We love finances and wealth. It's hard to let go. And this is what Allah says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ الْبِرَّ which is taqwa, iman. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ You want taqwa? You want iman? لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ You will not attain birr, taqwa, iman, until you give and spend from that which you like and love. It's hard to part ways with some of our possessions, yes. But when you put Allah first and the house of Allah first, Allah rewards abundantly. We are generous, but Allah is more generous. And Allah gives according to His generosity, not according to ours. So the brothers here, Jazahumullah khairan. And I have to say this. The atmosphere, and I believe almost everyone feels this, the brotherly atmosphere, that we as males and females, old and young, all of us feel the brotherly spirit in this masjid. The connection, the beauty, the help. The beautiful spirit, community spirit that we have here, that it's pleasant that to be here. It's pleasant to spend time here. Many of our children have memorized the Quran here in this masjid. They have become huffaz. And they have, and many of them, by the way, they are leading the prayer. A lot of the teachers who are teaching today in this masjid were children. And I remember with Brother Hassan, Jazallah Khair, many years ago, when people used to complain about the children who used to play at the back of the masjid. And he said, you will see a day will come when these young children who are making trouble and noise now, they are the ones who will be leading you in salah, and they are the ones who will be teaching you and your children. And it happened. Now we see it today as a reality. That's an investment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everyone can function in the capacity of teaching and education and helping out and volunteering. But all of us can give a little bit from what Allah has given us in order to keep this effort running, and consider this to be a transaction, a loan that you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah grows for you, and that inshaAllah, on the Day of Judgment, if you do it sincerely, you will be surprised when you see it, because it would be many times what you paid, that you won't be able to recognize it because of the blessings and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the brothers have put this easy way to make it easy for you. You just have to scan the code. As Brother Muhammad Hassan said, you have it in the back and you have it in the front. Scan the code, and inshallah for 30 days you can give sadaqah every day. At least $10. At least $10. And so much work, invisible work, and a lot of expenses go into the day-to-day functioning and the running costs of the masjid. That without the support of the community, it cannot be sustained. So consider this to be between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use this month, and don't delay it. Use this month to gain the reward bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and do your contribution. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask from all of us, to accept from all of us. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna 'ala al qawmi al kafirin. Allahumma ij'alna min 'utaqa'ika fi hadha al shahr al karim. اللهم اعتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا من النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وفقنا للصيام والقيام وتلاوة القرآن، وتقبل كل ذلك منا برحمتك وكرمك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم كن لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان، في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي الشام وفي السودان وفي كل مكان، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك، ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعلنا في هذا الشهر من الفائزين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.